excited to be here tonight, high school ministry. There you go. That's good. Hey, my name is Matt Velasco. My job is to do this very thing. I'm the high school ministry director here at the Chanhassen campus of Westwood, where I get to hang out with you guys every single week. If you are new, I want to meet you. We say something around these parts. We say this is home. We say this is home not because we believe this is going to be the literal physical place where you sleep every single night or eat your meals or whatever it might be, but because we believe that this is a place that's safe. We believe this is a place where you will be celebrated, where there will be transparency, where there will be fun, and where you can be loved. So if you are new, welcome to the family. We would love to get to know you and get you plugged in. Please come introduce yourself to me. After tonight, we are in our third week and our final week of the Revival series. We've been asking two questions. Why not now? Revival. Why not now? Why not us? Why can't revival happen in your life right now? And why can't revival happen right here at high school ministry in Chanhassen, Minnesota, and Bush Lake and Minnetonka right now? That's what we've been asking. And the first week we talked about how the Holy Spirit is necessary for revival to happen. When he dwells within us, we receive a power that actually brings about revival when we preach the good news. Last week we talked about the significance of our repentance. We defined repentance as turning away from sin in three different ways. It was intellectual, it was emotional, and it was volitional. What that meant was that there's an intellectual change that happens in the way that you think about the way that you're living. There's an emotional change about the way that you feel about the way that you're living. And there's a volitional change to your choice, choosing, or your ability to choose to turn away from sin. And I told you last week that tonight was perhaps the most important night of the series. We're talking about their repentance. So last week was our repentance. We talked about how in order for revival to happen, we must first repent. This week we're talking about their repentance. You see, revival is a great movement of God in which people come to know his life-saving gospel. It's a life-changing movement of God, which is supernatural, where people understand that they are dead and Jesus brings them back to life. And tonight we're talking about your role in doing that and actually leading people into repentance. So if you have your Bibles, you can open up to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm not going to get there right away because what I want to do is first talk about why this is important. Why is it important that we actually guide people into repentance? Why is it important that it goes from our repentance to their repentance? And friends, the reason being is because revival is a rescue. When revival happens, it is God rescuing people. And we ask, what is God rescuing people from? God is rescuing people from their sin. It is about believing that God can actually change the hearts of the students that you are in class with. It's about believing that God can actually change the hearts of the people that you live with, your mom, your dad, your sister, your brother, your father-in-law, your sister, you're not father-in-law because you're not married. Well, maybe, I mean, maybe Leah, who knows? What's it? Stepdad, stepmom, that's what I was trying to say. Stepbrother, stepsister, whoever it might be. Believing that God, through his love, can actually transform people in your life's lives. That's what revival is. And the fact of the matter is that the gospel is all about God's rescue mission for humanity. I heard a student actually say that last night at Minnetonka My Story, that the gospel is God's rescue mission for humanity. That the gospel is Jesus coming down to actually rescue all of the world whom would believe in him. You see, what I want you to know about me is that there's two things I commit to you. Two things as a youth pastor that I promise you I will do my best to do. The first one is to teach you and show you and model for you that through your love, you can actually change the world of people in your life. That through your love, which has been given to you by Jesus Christ, you can actually change the worlds of those whom you are in relationship with. The second thing that I promise you I will do my best to do as your youth pastor is to show you, teach you and model for you that you as an individual play an integral, important, and necessary role in the fulfillment of the Great Commission. The Great Commission, we talked about it at the beginning of the year. It is the very fact that Jesus says to us, go into all of the world, go into your schools, go into your houses, go onto your teams, and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. The fact that Jesus came, he lived, he died, and he came back to life so that you could have life, that you would go into your schools and that you would preach that truth. That you would actually believe that you as an individual, whether you are a 9th, a 10th, an 11th, a 12th grader, or a leader, or someone who's just here for some random reason, that you would know that when you follow Jesus, you have an important role in the Great Commission. Now, why is that important as we talk about revival tonight? Friends, what I want you to know, what I need you to understand is that the church, not just Westwood, not just River Valley, not just Grace, not just Wooddale, not just any other church in our community or in the world, but the capital C global church, which is the followers of Jesus. We are God's plan A. You are not God's plan B. You are not God's plan C. You are not the backup plan. You are his plan A for saving the world. You see, he sent Jesus not apart from the church. And so Jesus came so he could die for the church. He came so he could die for us so that we could then go into the world and preach that good news. See, we are wrapped hand in hand with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Revival is necessary because we are God's plan A. Revival is necessary because God has chosen each and every one of you to be the way in which he sees your schools get changed. And not just your schools, but your future families. And not just your future families, but your future place of employment. Not just your future place of employment, but your future college. Not just your future college, but your future wherever the heck you end up. God has chosen you to change that place. You are his plan A. And the way in which we do that is we lead people into repentance. We lead people into turning away from their sins. And friends, repentance is necessary because the gospel is offensive. What do I mean by that? What do I mean by the fact that the gospel is offensive? Well, let's think about it. What is the gospel? The gospel is this, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is perfect, came down from heaven, lived a perfect life, never sinned once, never lied, never stole, never did anything bad. He was perfect good, and he died a brutal death. He was put on a cross, the worst death that anyone could ever die, and he went in a tomb after he breathed his last breath. But 3 days later, he came back to life so that we could have life in him, saying that death was defeated, that Jesus in his death fulfilled the wrath of God, which we would have received, but he took for us. That is the gospel. Now, what is that actually saying? It is saying you are a terrible person and you are going to die an eternal death unless you believe in an invisible God. You are not good enough. That's what the gospel is. You see, and so often we like to sugarcoat and turn the gospel into this rom-com love story where it becomes this like, oh, Jesus is so good to me. He died for me and I don't do anything wrong anymore. And I get these like butterfly feelings every Wednesday night and then I still go and do things I do in my life every single day. But I have Jesus, so it's all good. That's not the gospel. You see, we think so often that, man, if I go to summer camp and I get those tingles during worship, then I'm saved. If I go to HSM and I listen to Matt teach and I read my Bible occasionally, and every time I do it, I feel really good, I'm good. But what we don't understand is that an understanding of the gospel actually results in a turning away from sin, a repentance. Friends, the gospel is offensive because it tells you that you are not good enough and you need to turn away from who you are and turn towards Jesus. It is not a rom-com love story that is all giggles and butterflies. Yes, don't get me wrong. The gospel is the greatest love story ever told, and The Notebook will never top it as much as people want it to. The gospel is the greatest love story that has ever been told, but it is so offensive. And it's important for you to know that, because as you lead your friends towards repentance, as you communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ to them and challenge them to turn away from their sins and towards Jesus, you have to understand that what they are hearing is, so you're telling me I'm a horrible person and I need to stop, but I think I'm pretty good. I've never stolen. I get good grades. Me and my parents get along. I never drink. That's not what the gospel's about. And you see, if the gospel just stayed at being offensive, then God wouldn't be loving. If the gospel just stayed at that and he just left us hanging thinking that we were terrible people, then what would that be? But instead, what God actually does, he doesn't leave us hanging, believing that we are worthless. You see, every time you understand the gospel for the first time, you have that pit in your stomach and the realization that there's something that's been missing. See, we even talked last week about how sometimes the need to repent, the need to confess your sin actually keeps you up at night and leads you to feel like you're going to vomit and you feel disgusting and you just lay in bed thinking, why did I do that? So often an understanding of the gospel leads you to that place. And if God were to just leave us there, then he would not be good. But friends, God does not leave you there. He provides his son. You see, while the gospel is offensive, while it hurts to understand, what we also have to understand is that repentance is necessary because it makes us aware of sin that we have never been aware of. You see, it's offensive, and in so being offensive, we begin to understand that there's something wrong. But it takes us from this understanding that there's something wrong to providing a solution for that emptiness. You see, God does not just leave us sitting there thinking, what have I done? Instead, he provides us his son, which is love, which is clarity. See, what I want you to understand, if you walk through these doors having understood one thing tonight, here's what I want you to know. Before you can walk away from your sin, you need to be offended by your sin. You see, the gospel leaves us feeling offended. But the very act of becoming offended by your sin means that you can look it in the eye and turn away from it. And you might be asking, Matt, why is this necessary when it comes to the repentance of my friend? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 22 through 25 says this. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. What he is saying here is don't try to argue someone into the gospel. Don't think that your arguing is going to lead someone to Jesus. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed. If you have your own Bibles, underline, circle, box, star, do whatever you got to do, must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth. Opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth. You see, friends, the Bible tells us to gently instruct because God is more than aware that in order to turn away from our sin, we must first be offended by it. And so what he says to us as the Church of Jesus Christ, knowing that you will go into your schools, preach the gospel, and these people will feel offended by that, he says, gently instruct them. Do so lovingly. it looks like this, just practically. If you think about the conversation, it could be, hold on, I'm finding it, I wrote it down. Okay, I found it. Are you ready? Cool. We don't just simply preach the gospel and say, yep, you're right. You suck. Jesus doesn't. Have fun. But friends, the reality is that so often that's what we do. You see, we leave them in this place of being offended by their sin, but we don't actually gently instruct them like the Bible tells us to do through that. You see, yes, part of understanding the gospel is an understanding that you are in desperate need of a savior. But how that conversation actually should go is, you're right. It's hard to hear this. But you know, I look at where I was before I had Jesus, and I look at where I am now, and everything has changed. I feel a weight lifted. It took me being offended by my sin to be able to walk away from it. See, there's a difference in actually guiding them through their repentance. See, we gently instruct. We sit them down and we preach the gospel to them, and we tell them about the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in the midst of their pain and understanding who they are, we do not abandon them, but rather we encourage them and tell them, hey, you know what? Jesus loves you so much that despite how you feel right now, in a year, you will be so thankful that he brought you to this place. You see, I believe there's so much truth in the fact that in order to turn away from your sin, you must be offended by it. And so when you go into your schools, when you sit down with your friend and you talk to them about what it means to follow Jesus, or they come to you with questions, we do not leave them being offended. But rather, we come with a gentleness that only Christ can bring through us. And it's in that gentleness where we guide our friends through repentance. So as a review, what is repentance? It's an emotional understanding that there's something wrong. It's an intellectual understanding that there's something wrong. It's an emotional feeling that you're not right inside of your soul. And it's a volitional choice to turn away from that which is causing you to feel that way. Repentance comes from an understanding of your sin and knowing that you have to turn away from it in order to get to Jesus. But the reality is that Jesus is already with you because he is the one that is guiding you through repentance the whole entire time. And so practically, band, you guys can come back up. How do you actually guide someone through repentance? Well, I have 4 points, and these aren't always the only ways to do it. It can change, it can be different, but first, you tell them how loved they are. Start with love. You look at them and you tell them how loved they are. Then you tell them that there is goodness inside of their offense because it doesn't end there. And so you tell them that Christ is within your feeling of being offended. Then you walk them through the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which shows them the purpose of their soul. And then you simply instruct them into repentance. What does that mean? You say that this feeling means there's something that you have to turn away from. And Jesus wants to take that. And so as we stand and we come back to the front to sing one last song before we go to small groups, I want to encourage you during this song to think of one person in your life that you need to gently instruct into repentance. One person in your life that is in desperate need of the love of Jesus Christ. And you simply say to them that there is a God who has loved you so much that he came and lived a perfect life, died a painful death, and came back to life despite that, so that you could have life in him. Jesus, we are so thankful for who you are. Lord, we are so in awe of your love and your grace and your mercy. And we just ask tonight, Lord, that you would speak to us. That as we sing this song, would you lay people on our heart for us to tell the good news to? Maybe a friend that we've been praying for years or days or hours or whatever it might be, that we're just going to simply sit down and instruct. Or Lord, maybe it's a family member or a coach or a teacher or whoever it might be. Jesus, would we be your church in the schools? And Lord, would we not forget that the gospel is offensive, but that's a good thing. Because in order for us to turn away from our sin, we must first be offended by it. Jesus, we love you.